VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
What do you know? The prodigal son has returned home.
Oh, it's good to be back and warmer.
Well, we heard you. We just didn't see you. But loyal listeners will probably remember that Adam went up to Green Bay last week to see a Green Bay Packer game, which is sort of the bucket list item that everybody wants if you happen to have been born and raised up there or lived there any significant time, all of which we did. And I have never been to Green Bay. Well, I have seen the Milwaukee versions, but when they used to do that. But he had a good time, got a tour of the field, some outstanding history, because there's no better history in the NFL than there is right there in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I highly recommend it if you get the chance. Yeah. If you're a football fan of any kind, you can probably appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you're of any age whatsoever, you'd know a lot of the names from the old days up there, too. So it was fun. I compliment his wife on a very creative birthday present.
For sure.
That was pretty cool. And then as it happens, and I think this is just dumb luck, she is from Miami, and who are the Packers playing? But
Miami. Yeah, she's not a fan. She's a Green Bay fan, though.
Well, the correct team won, yeah, no matter how you look at it that way.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. But anyway, those of you who are regulars, welcome back. Thanks so much for always being here, because that's why we're here. For anybody new who just happened to catch us, or if you've been told about it, or we've told you about it, or something like that, try to stick around for the whole hour. We'll talk about all kinds of fun things. I guarantee you're going to find something that will be of interest to you. And if you want to guarantee it even better, we can arrange that too. Actually, you can arrange that. We'll talk about whatever we want to talk about, unless you call us at 222-8255 and say that you have a question or you want to talk about something different, and callers will always go immediately to the front of the line, and we'll take it and see what happens. Unlike so many financial shows that are pre-recorded, you can actually have some input into this one and change the course of the show. So pick up the phone and let's see what happens. We've got all kinds of things to talk about today. The election is over. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Not in Florida, anyway. Go figure.
And I have a little insight as to why it was a tough day for Republicans, because as salesmen, we just reek.
When hasn't that happened, though? When does the incumbent party not lose seats at a midterm?
And when did we ever out-politic Democrats? There's a relationship there. I'll tell you what I think, how we missed the boat, because the major thing that was done was not sold to the public, and people still don't believe it, and I'll go over some of that in a little bit.
Well, it wasn't nearly what they were predicting, so I think we played better than we beat our expectations.
Well, that's what happens when you have diminished expectations.
Yeah, it's not really diminished, though. If you look at what happened to Obama, look at what happened to Bush, same thing, only worse.
Yeah, there were better reasons, in my humble opinion. The economy wasn't as good, all that. But anyway, we're getting into little details there that we don't need to bore you with yet. I might bore you later. Who knows? I doubt it. Anyway, we have a trivia question right after the break, and Adam's going to tell us a little bit about what happened this week. This was a strange one. You know, I always like to sum it up a little bit, and this was one of those weeks that wasn't any good, but it felt okay.
Yeah, it really did. For whatever reason, it wasn't pretty. And I was going to say that you mentioned that the election ended this week. It looks like the hangover set in this week, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, the Dow and the S&P are still in positive territory for the month of November, but the NASDAQ is now off almost 1% for the month. So you can see where the weakness is. It's largely in tech still.
Bang.
Yep. And this quarter, it's the NASDAQ is down almost 10%. So it's kind of a, I mean, the NASDAQ is down 10% off its recent highs. So it's definitely in correction territory. However, year to date, the NASDAQ is still up 5%, which leads all indexes. Yeah. So not a bad year.
So maybe it got a little overheated.
Yeah, definitely. I'll touch on that in a minute. But the week really saw some wild, volatile trading. I mean, the Dow was jumping around in 100-point increments in very, very little time, almost all week. And the result was net losses. The Dow shed the most, losing 2.2%. The NASDAQ was down 2.1%, and the S&P was down 1.6%. It wasn't pretty, but it didn't feel that bad because we did see a couple of up days during the week. We just had one big down day that kind of killed any momentum to the upside. One good thing about this most recent pullback is that PE ratios are way down from their peak. That's a combination of earnings getting better and prices coming down. But the S&P 500 PE ratio is now 18.7, but it was over 23 less than a year ago.
And most people will look at numbers that are up in the 20-somethings and say, it's overvalued.
Right.
And I guess maybe it was, because now it's not.
Yeah. I wouldn't go out and say that this is a great buying opportunity right now, but I do think that it's a lot more attractive than it was 3 months ago. So I think that's a fair way of putting it.
I might have to agree with you.
There are a lot of reasons that analysts and talking heads are pointing to for the most recent pullback, but in our estimation, there's really only one. The conflict with China over trade and intellectual property theft, which they swear they don't do, is holding this market back. We have said for the last few weeks that the market hates uncertainty, and right now that is the uncertainty around what's going to happen with China. Trump is supposed to meet with China later this month at the G20, and he keeps hinting that China is going to make a deal or wants to make a deal, and that happened on Friday, and the market jumped 100 points in 2 seconds. It was pretty remarkable, actually.
And then they retaliate.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, wait, well, that's not really serious information, so right. maybe we jumped the gun, and then it pulled back a little. It ended up going higher than that late trading, but still, that just shows that the market is waiting for an answer on China, and I really think that that's what this weakness is.
It's all about posturing.
Yeah, and if you look outside the U.S., it's even uglier than the U.S. The U.S. is down about 7% off its recent high. Bear markets are everywhere, though, including China, 27% down, Germany, 23% down, South Africa, 31% down, Mexico, 26% down, and the list goes on and on. There are too many to mention here. Is the global economy really crashing? I don't think so. I just think that no one wants to do anything because of this impending threat of China and the U.S. cutting off all trade, and it just seems like that is the linchpin for everything right now. So I really think that if that were to get solved, you would see a massive rally worldwide.
Yeah. Well, who is suffering more than whom?
Yeah, exactly. There are, and what the other thing is, when did this talk about a global slowdown really start? Is it any coincidence that it started right when Trump started talking about tariffs?
Oh, probably. Coincidence.
Yeah, right. Complete coincidence.
You believe in a lot of coincidence, do you?
No.
Not me neither.
Anyways, so I've got some more, but I'll wrap it up on the other side.
Yeah, and I've got some more, too. I want to talk about the reasons that some of our gurus are giving for why the market should go up, and then the reasons why they want to go down. And although there are many less on the pro side than there are on the con side, they're far more important. And we'll get into that right after the break. That and your questions, give us a call as soon as we come back, or even right now, and we'll get you set up. So don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we will resume talking about the market this week with some looks forward. But first, I have a trivia question. Brought to you, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And I have to mention something that made me chuckle yesterday. We had had a winner not long ago, and the prize was a coupon, a certificate, whatever, to Homestead Restaurant, and we announced a couple weeks ago that it had just very suddenly closed, much to our surprise.
So suddenly that they still have the sign from Florida Georgia Weekend up on the placard.
Yeah, and we were as shocked as anybody, but come to find out the winner had actually tried to go there, and I think it was the day after we announced it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We felt very badly that we hadn't gotten the news through. But it's being replaced by one that everybody can use, Publix. Anybody who doesn't need Publix has figured out a way to not eat. I haven't figured that out. I should, but I haven't. All right, question for this week. In how many states have consumers experienced reduced electrical rates since the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017? How many states? All right, where were you? You were wrapping up some things, and I'm going to wrap up some things, and then we'll move on.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the beat rate for the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Still somewhat strong, but it dropped from the previous two quarters. And this was especially prevalent on the revenue side. On the earnings side, it came in at 64.5, which is just below quarter one and quarter two. So no real concern there. But on the revenue side, it came in at 57.6, which is off pretty dramatically from the 70% or so in the previous three quarters. And in addition, more companies lowered guidance than raised guidance for the first time in seven quarters. Now,
that's important, though.
It is important, and it also coincides with the global trade threat. Right. So do you think that played a role in this? Because I do.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So again, everything just seems to tie back to this China deal and the talk of a trade war.
And that's what I was alluding to in the previous segment, where results are always compared to expectations. So if expectations are continually growing, then there's going to come a time when your results will be that we can't exceed them. Actuality can't exceed those expectations because they rose too high. Therefore, we have to lower expectations. This is a product of our particular system of quarterly reporting. Trump doesn't like it. I don't like it. But we're going to keep doing it because that's the way it is, and Wall Street absolutely needs this. So what you're seeing is not strange at all, but they're saying it's negative. Reporting on the Trump economy is like a parlor game in the media, financial and other media, and what they're trying to do is slant everything to make Trump look bad.
Yeah, and it is very coincidental that this quarter reported so badly, and it also held the midterm elections right after it. So.
Yeah, that is strange, isn't
it?
Yeah,
very odd.
All right, well, let's look at a couple things. The reasons that I'm not concerned. Number one, economy is still growing. GDP is rising. It's up substantially from a year ago. We'll see what the fourth quarter brings. But
And to back that up, my last data point that I was going to mention was that retail sales rose 0.8% in October.
Yeah, which is a huge number
really
in
big.
Anybody's book.
Now up 4.6% in the last year. So if you don't think the American consumer is doing well, you are wrong.
70% of this economy is consumer driven.
Right.
And the consumer is out there. And you would expect so because look how many people are working.
Yeah, and have more cash, free cash flow than they did a year ago or 2 years ago.
I have a classic example of talking down the Trump economy. This week, the unemployment claims, first-time unemployment claims, were very disappointing to some people. They were...
Really? To who?
216,000.
Yeah.
Well, to people like Yahoo News and, you know, things like that. But here's one of the classics. This one from a week ago. When a week ago, it was 214. So this Ian Shepherdson of Pantheon Macroeconomics wrote in a note, "The hit from the hurricane should by now be fading from the numbers, with claims headed back to the pre-storm trend. We might just be impatient, but if claims don't subside below 210,000 very soon, we'll have to start looking for another explanation for the uptick."
This guy can't be serious.
I said the same thing. This was in reference to unemployment claims dropping only to 214,000 from 215,000 the week before. These are the lowest numbers since the 1960s, when the population was two-thirds of what it is today. My conclusion, this is a very dumb person who would not ever serve as a guru for me in any sense of the word. For the week, the largest decreases were in Illinois, Missouri, and Florida. Increases were in Michigan, California, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And the 2 weeks before the hurricane were, ready for this, 207,000 and 214,000. Now, does that number sound familiar?
It does.
It does. Complained about 214 because it wasn't good enough to go back to the pre-hurricane week, except that it was exactly the same.
Listen, when you're talking numbers in the 200,000s, a difference of 6,000 or 8,000, it's not even, you shouldn't even consider it. It's basically the same number. And yeah, just for reference, this number, anything below 300,000 is considered right, very strong. So to get down anywhere near 200,000 is ridiculously strong. And whether it's 208 or 214 does not matter.
All right, number two, the leading indicators are still rising. When the leading indicators stop rising, hesitate, and then turn down, it is historically at least 2 years to the next recession from when they peak out. Number three, the yield curve is solid. Remember the last year, every week, complaining the yield curve might invert, yield curve might invert. Well, it didn't, and it isn't, and it isn't going to. Number four, the Fed increasing rates seems to be easing up a little bit. There are indicators that maybe it's not going to be quite as rampant as it had been planned earlier. We'll see. At this point, I've actually gone down to iffy on December, where I was absolutely convinced before. Not really sure. Number five, small business optimism is at a record level. Six, retail, 70% of the economy, like Adam said, is absolutely booming. Seven, PE rates are lessening, as Adam opened up in the market wrap. Eight, bullish sentiment is not too high and not too low. That means not too many people are enthusiastic about the market, but not too many are dreading it either. Number nine, the market technicals are still very good. Number 10, the best time of the year in the market is still coming. And number 11, the China question. Things are testy right now, but they're getting hurt worse than we are. Everybody who thinks about these things is absolutely convinced that this is going to get settled. Not with a little bluster first, though. You know, that if they look at Trump and say he's got a lot of bluster, and they're absolutely right, so they're going to have to match him bluster for bluster. But everybody knows we got to make a deal.
Yeah, of course. It just needs to be done. But I think people were expecting it to be done sooner.
I think they were, too. And I would have to say that I'm one of them.
Yeah, I agree.
I was really quite surprised that it hasn't happened.
Me too, but politics take a long time.
Yeah, they do. All right, other absolutely spectacular headlines this week. One of them, we need to believe election results. I just altered that a little bit for purposes of the show here. I say, okay, but we need to be able to believe election results. I am having a little trouble with that. I think many of you are too. Here's another one from last Saturday. Company insiders are buying stock again. Oh, really? The usual rate of stock purchase on this index is 0.5. It's up to 1.25. So if the heads of these companies are buying their own stock again, what does it mean?
It's a deal.
And then I got one more on the dumb side of life. Bankrupt Sears wants to give executives $19 million in bonuses.
They just did that for PR. Morons.
Is it any wonder how many people look upon corporate America with disdain when they act like this? If you were a bondholder or a stockholder in Sears and you read that,
first of all, I'm sorry. And second of all,
but it wasn't because you do business with us, I'll tell you that. If we were laughing about it, it probably wasn't a laughing matter for people at the time, but we were kind of chuckling in the office yesterday because the the day Winn-Dixie was going to go under the next morning, it was announced all through the media and said, tomorrow morning, the bankruptcy is being filed and the stock price will be zero. And all day long, stock was trading at $2.
Yeah, buck and a people half. Were buying it.
I don't blame anybody for selling, but to whom? Who's going to buy that when all the news in the marketplace and everybody knew it was tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and it's worthless? They bought anyway on the
hopes that it wasn't true, I guess.
That's crazy. Oh, well. This business can be fun if you make it that way, that's for sure. All right, after the break, we've got a few other topics to handle. One of them, if I can get to it today, and I probably can, is a federal benefit for military people that almost no one has ever heard of. And probably within the sound of our voice, there are people who could take advantage of it. So we'll talk about that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Banley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banway.
And I'm Adam Banway.
Lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Reminder of the trivia question still open, brought to you by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. How many states have consumers paying less for electricity than before the Tax Cut and Jobs Act? This is an example of corporate America collecting less taxes and passing the, or paying less taxes and passing along the savings to some consumers out there. And I think that's a good thing. All right, another comment on the anti-Trump media that's trying to talk this economy down. This is a classic from last week's Sunday. Quarter three GDP reaches 3.5% on big import growth. Now, I know that in this population of people who are listening to this, not a lot of you have degrees in economics or are well-trained in good old classical economics, but those who are understand that imports decrease your GDP and exports increase your GDP. So to say that it reaches 3.5 on big import growth means that it must have been greater than 3.5 before, which it was. Now, he could have said it drops because of import growth, but he didn't. He said it reaches that. So it sounds like Trump is making an error by importing too much just to get up to 3.5. And that's the kind of thing that really irritates me. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Great. Hey, how are you?
Good. It's good to see you guys or talk to you guys. I wanted to take a shot at the trivia.
Do.
I'm going to guess, and I was just able to tune in a few minutes ago, so I don't know if you've had any guesses
nope.
to this point.
No, nope, it's wide open.
But I'm going to guess 32.
And you would be low.
I'm low.
Yep. How about that?
Well, I'm glad I'm low.
Yeah, I am too. It's one of those questions where the bigger answer is the better answer for all of us who pay our monthly bills.
Yeah, no kidding. My goodness. Well,
how's the rest of the world treating you?
Oh, it's pretty good. Do you mind if I give you an update on the event coming up?
Absolutely insist.
Well, so if for those of you who are unfamiliar
sure, with set it up.
On, we're, what's that?
I said, set it up.
Yeah. So our church, Restoration Church, is performing Handel's Messiah this Christmas on December 8th and 9th as a benefit for an organization called Hunger Fight, which they feed Title I food insecure children in our elementary schools all over Northeast Florida. I got a statistic this week that there are over 90,000 of them just in Duval County.
That's crazy.
It's somewhere between awful and scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. And these kids, most of them don't have it. There's not enough food at home to be healthy. A lot of them, the only meals they get are at school. So they send these little easy to prepare meals home with them. And they send four meals home with them for a dollar. Over the weekends, and they're just doing a great work. So we're doing it as a benefit for them. And so Handel's Messiah, the Christmas portion on December 8th and 9th, and tickets are $5 a piece. They start at 5 and 10 for the good seats, if that's what you want. All the donations that come in are going straight to Hunger Fight. Our goal is 50,000. We are almost to 14,000 already.
Good.
And so we need people to keep getting tickets, keep making donations. And we would sure love to see the community come out and support this. Our goal is 50,000. And that'll go straight to putting meals right in our elementary schools here in Jacksonville.
Nice.
How do people find it?
Yep. What's the website again?
Yeah, messiahforhungerfight.org, all one word, messiahforhungerfight.org. You can find more information about the event, and you can get your tickets, you can donate, and it's just going to be a great time. You can't get any better at Christmas than Messiah and an incredible cause like that. So we would love to see the community come out and support that.
Fantastic.
Great, Larry. So, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Give us a call next week and do the same thing. And yes, for all of you listening, we will be here next week. Holidays do not affect our show schedules, nope. Unlike so many of our competitors. So tune all in, right. and give us another call then. We'll talk about whether or not we've gotten over how much turkey we ate. And keep plugging your event, because I think it's a wonderful thing.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate you guys. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Be good.
You too.
All right.
All right. That, I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, probably almost everybody, but if you don't hear the Messiah once in a while, it just isn't Christmas. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning. How are you all doing?
We're great. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, you're spot on, Adam, about the trade stuff. And Steve, I mean, we need a trade deal in order for this market to get over its nervousness.
Yep.
It's so important. I mean, every day we keep seeing these rallies in the morning, and then yep. It rolls over in the afternoon.
I know.
It's so frustrating.
Well, they're not going to pre-announce this thing either. They're going to come out and say, okay, we got a deal, and you better be in when that happens, because if you wait 5 minutes, it's going to be pretty late.
Yeah, it's true. That I was saying on Friday, the market, when that little thing that Trump released about China wants to deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I looked at the market. It was down 12 or something like that. I typed something. I saw that. I looked back up, and couldn't have been 2 minutes. It was up 140.
Yep. The electronic traders have their fingers right next to that button. When they hear that, boom, it goes, and the market goes absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised too, because I had some call options that all of a sudden they got taken out because the market jumped.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I had a limit order in there, and it's like, boom, it executed so quickly.
Whoops. If you play the game that way, that's expected.
And we also need a recalcitrant Federal Reserve to step off the gas pedal, and hopefully, you know, we'll get a suboptimal jobs number the first week of December that isn't too hot, not too cold, and then they can take their foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah, they do need an excuse if they're going to do it. I'm still not convinced that interest rates are where they need to go, but if it slows down a little bit, it's not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, they have an impossible job, and if you look at the Fed, and historically, they always overshoot on both sides,
yep.
And it's so hard to play that game just perfectly.
Mm-hmm. It just hasn't been very long since the last one, and I think they need a little more data collection time, especially now that the election's over. We haven't even seated the new Congress. I would not do anything until the new Congress comes in, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
So if I was Barack Obama calling in today, I would guess 57 states, but I'm not him. So, I'm going to say 50 states.
You got it.
That was an excellent comment both times, because it is exactly right. In every state in the union, people are paying less for electricity because corporations got their taxes cut. Huh. And, you know, the reason, I alluded to this while we were opening up, the reason that the Republicans, this is my opinion only, one of the main reasons Republicans didn't do all that well in this last election is because they did not sell the tax cuts. They allowed them to be lied about, and they didn't have the ammunition to come back with. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as to what the tax cuts really did. But you nailed it. This is, I don't know, anybody can think this is bad news. Some people probably do.
I know. But I tell you what's going to matter in 2020 is health care, because I think the Republicans were horrible at messaging on health care. And it's so important. We got an aging population. The boomers are getting older. And healthcare is very worrisome to a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
And now in the politically correct world will not allow you to say that John McCain stuck it to every one of us. But since it's my show, I just said it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, my sister used to live in Arizona, and she is furious with him.
She should be.
She's on Obamacare. My sister's on Obamacare, and she hates it. It's so awful.
I've never found anyone who likes it.
No.
I found people that are happy that they were able to get it.
Right.
But then once they're on it, it's terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's typical. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and okay. Alan will get your name and address. And thanks so much, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
All right, thanks.
How about that? 50 states.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It surprised Adam, too, when I hit him with it before the show. And, well, you know, I'd love to do trivia questions that have some sense of meaning to me. And I told him I was about to walk out the door this morning with a different one, and then this one popped up on my screen, and I thought, my gosh, I never would have gotten that right. So
there is a group that would have been maybe not happy about that, and I will get to it after the break.
I'm absolutely sure you're right about that. You can't please everybody all the time or practically any time. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
In this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, call Troy at 662-9794. Right, Adam was just mentioning that there's a group of people that defy the odds, that everyone should be happy, and apparently there are some who aren't.
Yeah, so everybody likes saving money unless you're a Democrat, because they released their tax hike plan this week. Actually, it was late last week.
They?
Yeah. And I guess it's basically undoing everything that Trump did is what it looks like to me.
Well,
the top tax rate goes back to 39.6%.
2 years undoing Obama. They want to spend 2 years undoing Trump. I guess turnabout's fair play, right?
They can't actually do it because they did not win the Senate, but that's what they want to do. And so just remember that in 2 more years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they increase the corporate tax rate from 21 to 25. They bring back the AMT for 4 million middle-class families.
Alternative minimum tax, the biggest debacle in the history of the world.
They cut the death tax standard deduction in half, which is the most unpopular tax in existence in every single poll ever done, basically.
You can't make this stuff up.
Exactly. So, yeah, so that's what will happen if the Democrats control both houses, the House and the Senate.
Yeah, and they'll replace some more of the more moderate ones, with a few more socialists, probably.
Oh, my God. This has been pure entertainment watching this young lady from New York.
I am just blown away by how entertaining this is.
I love it. It's so funny.
All right, good news, bad news. Here's the good news. What's the average FICO score? You know what a FICO score is? That's your credit score. From the old days at Fair Isaac, where a really, really, really good score, well, the top score is 850, but nobody does that except me.
Very few.
Yeah, I actually had one. But anyway, a good score for most people is above about 670, somewhere right in
there. Yeah, and then I think excellent starts at like 730 or 750, somewhere in there.
Yeah, well, America in general looks uphill at 700.
Yeah.
Until 2 weeks ago. Congratulations, America. You have reached 704.
On average?
On an average FICO score.
Wow.
That is what I said. That is really good news, people. Really good news. And there are ways you can make it even better. Now, it has been on an incline. In other words, it's been getting better since 2009. When the average score dropped down to 686. But for the first time ever, the data goes back to 2017, it hit 700, and it's inching its way up now to 704. And that is truly tremendous. So here's a couple things you should know. If you're a credit card user, spread your expenses over different cards. Always have at least 2 active cards and do whatever you can, whatever it takes to get your life in order so that you can pay them both off every month, because it just helps you. Don't apply for new loans when you're shopping for a home. Don't apply for other things like credit cards, car loans, or any of that at the same time. and you'll not get penalized that badly for it. Avoid closing out credit cards. This is the one that I have never come to grips with. I know it to be true, but don't close your old credit cards. You can stick them in ice in your freezer or whatever you want, but don't close
them. Cut them up and throw them away. Just don't use them, but don't, it hurts your length of credit.
Yeah, and if you have your name on a credit card with your parents, don't do it. Get rid of it. There's so many things that can upset people's credit. Kids can upset their parents' credit and vice versa. Keep everything separate if you can. So it is absolutely good news that this has reached 704, and keep it up, folks. Here's the bad news, or maybe we'll just file it under humor. I'm not sure yet. Hasbro has a new game out for Christmas. It's called Monopoly for Millennials. You heard me. It was announced earlier this week, and it's full of millennial stereotypes, and some of the millennials are taking a little umbrage with this. On the cover, Mr. Monopoly is wearing a medal, presumably from that half marathon he ran.
It's holding a coffee trophy.
wearing headphones and snapping a selfie. The cover of the game reads, "Forget real estate. You can't afford it anyway." That one seems to trigger a little condescension. Here's a great quote from one of the millennials. "I swear Millennial Monopoly is the most condescending game ever created. We're broke. It's not our fault. Leave us alone." Is that a millennial way to respond or what?
Now, is this from The Onion or is this real?
No, this is real, like barely. Anyway, the reality is very strange because, and this one surprised Adam, about 4 in 10 millennials are actually homeowners already. And as the article says, they're not buying Park Place.
No, but no one buys Park Place when they're in their 20s.
Exactly. So anyway, it'll be available at Walmart, where it is currently sold out.
Nice.
You can't make this up.
That's pretty funny.
You just can't make this up. I thought you'd like it. All right. Everybody knows a little bit about long-term care. Not too many people know very much about it. But did you know that there is a very, very well hidden long-term care benefit for some veterans? Nobody does. Long-term care services are becoming really critical because the need is rising as we live longer. The cost is rising as there's more demand. And you put need plus cost, and what you get is pending trouble. We are going to need more ways to cover it than we have now. If you have enough cash flow, you simply go out and buy long-term care insurance, assuming that you're medically qualified. But it runs into the thousands of dollars per year, and costs are rising. So it's a luxury very few people can afford. But the cost of care is rising so badly, it's averaging now nationwide about $92,000 annually per person. And that's a lot of money for most people. So if I told you that if you have some military background or are a spouse of a deceased soldier, sailor, whatever, you might be eligible. And then I'll give you a little bit of who and how. It's not for everybody, of course. The name of the program is ANA, stands for Aid and Attendance. And it is administered by an outfit whose website I will give you in a minute. There are, of course, like all federal benefits, there are a myriad of conditions for eligibility, and I will give you some of the primary ones because this will rule out most people. But if anybody, either you who are listening or you know somebody, your grandparents or whatever, might qualify, then we'll tell you how to follow up. First off, you must have completed 24 continuous months of active service. Second, have served at least one day during wartime. Third, have financial assets worth less than $80,000. And fourth, be unable to complete all activities of daily living, or ADLs, which is the general qualification for long-term care insurance anyway.
All of them or two out of the...
Two. Okay. This one says all, so I gather it's just one step easier. I couldn't disprove that. But for regular long-term care insurance, it kicks in at 2.
Yeah.
You also have to be able to document expenses that are greater than your income or assistance from a friend or relative with a street value higher than income. It's little known, but we have an organization in Green Cove Springs that can help you. It's called the National Association of Veterans and Families, or the acronym is NAVF. So there's a row of tabs if you go to the NAVF website. The second tab is benefits, and it lists these different subtabs: burial information, disability compensation, a video on the ANA program that I'm talking about, service-related disability, an underused benefit, which again leads you back to this, request military service records, other federal benefits, frequently asked questions. Now, somebody listening or somebody listening who knows someone and wants to go there and talk about this, it's www.navf.com, or you can call them at 904-394-3904. If you miss any of that and you want further follow-up information, just email us on our website or give us a call at our office. Yeah, I want to give them a quick rundown how to do that in the last few seconds here.
Yeah, our email is info@vanweefinancial.com, or you can call the office 904-685-1505. You can also find all that on our website, vanweefinancial.com.
And it could make a dramatic difference for you or for someone you know and love. And this time of the season, it's always a good thing to be looking into that sort of thing. So I hope it helps. Somebody out there can take advantage of this program, because you earned it. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We will be here next week. No problem. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.